Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Okay, listen. We're going to get started with the message while you guys are giving. This is my son, Jordan. He helps me not to knock furniture over, which I appreciate. Give Jordan a hand. He's doing a great job. Yeah. This setup's a little different. That's why they're telling me there's furniture behind you. When you open your eyes, you'll see a set. What we're doing in this series called Let's Talk, a few times over the summer, we're going to take this approach on Sunday morning, and we're talking through stories and principles that can help us to heal, to do better, to move closer to God, especially kind of in the real things that happen in life. Life happens. Sometimes it hurts, and we need to talk about it. So today, let's talk about healing after trauma. Healing after trauma. You know, the big, painful moments of life. I'm talking about things like divorce, losing someone that's very close to you, the death of someone, losing your home, being abused, rejected, broken. I'm sure trauma, painful circumstances have touched every person in this room. The question becomes, what do we do about that? Is there a way to heal after that? And the stories of the Bible and the testimonies of God's people will help us to heal. Now, I'd like to talk about, for a few minutes, about the book of Nehemiah, because Nehemiah is one of my favorite books. It's a book that I've written on, and it brings me comfort and direction of hope. There's wisdom in the patterns of the book of Nehemiah for people that are facing severely broken circumstances. The story in Nehemiah, of course, is that the wall surrounding the city of Jerusalem had been knocked down and destroyed. It was a traumatic time for the people of Israel. And I'd like to read a verse and then tell you the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. Now, at the end of our message today, we're going to have a very special time of prayer. We're going to believe God to rebuild some things, but let's look at God's word. Nehemiah said to them, "You see the trouble." Everybody say trouble.
Trouble.
You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins. Its gates have been burned with fire. And Nehemiah says this, "Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." I want to point out a couple of things here. How bad was it? Disgrace, ruins, trouble, burned with fire, pretty bad. Nehemiah stands up in the middle of that trauma, I'm thinking about what's happening in Nepal right now, for example. Think about the rubble. Think about the devastation. Think about a city destroyed by a conquering army. That was Jerusalem. And nothing left. Every home pulled down. The walls, the protective walls around the city, completely destroyed. And the people basically kidnapped into slavery, dragged off to Babylon. This is 500 years before Christ. This is 500 miles away from Jerusalem, and God begins to talk to Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a faithful man, and the Lord raises Nehemiah up. He gets permission, and he comes those 500 miles from Babylon to Jerusalem to rebuild. He looks, and he sees the utter devastation, but he says something very important. It's like Nehemiah is saying, this has been burned, this has been destroyed, this is awful, but it doesn't have to stay this way. We can change it. And I have a prophetic word for every one of you today. I'm not sure what may be destroyed in your life. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's an important relationship. Maybe your career has been through some kind of traumatic, broken place, and it's left you kind of wrecked in one way or another. I want to prophesy to you, it doesn't have to end this way. God wants to rebuild your life. He wants to change the story. And Nehemiah comes and he says, let's rise up and build. Let's change this. And in that, he becomes a picture of the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah is like a symbol of a story that is being written in your life right now. Because Nehemiah is a type of the Holy Spirit that stands up in the midst of devastation and helps people restore and rebuild. That process, which is so vital and so possible through the power of God. God will send his power to rebuild the broken places of our personalities and our hearts when we've suffered devastation and trauma. And in Nehemiah's case, he was very successful in 52 short days. I mean, it was an organizational miracle that in just 52 days, he was able to clear the rubble and rebuild the walls and bring that picture of restoration. Is God available to us when our lives have been broken down? Does he care? What does his word say? Let's take a look at some scriptures. Psalm 147, verse 3, one of my favorites. Can we read this out loud together? It's up on the screen. Let's read it together. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages. Now that says a whole lot about who God is. First of all, it says he's a healer. He heals. But he also, he not only heals people's bodies. I mean, we kind of think about our bodies needing healing. But God is a healer of broken hearts, traumatized hearts, people whose hearts have been shattered, broken, destroyed by one event or person or another. God does that. Jesus announced his purpose in coming. He said, the Spirit of the Lord, Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has chosen me to tell the good news to the poor. He sent me to tell prisoners that they are free, to tell and to tell the blind that they can see again. He sent me to free those, this translation says, who have been treated badly. That is a verse about abuse, if you can receive this. That Jesus Christ will heal a person who's been devastated or abused. He sent me to free those who have been treated badly and to announce that the time has come for the Lord to show his kindness. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about the comfort of God. God is our Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us. Are you hurting today? Because God will comfort you. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given to us. Some of you have asked the question, Lord, why did you allow this to happen to me? Why I wasn't expecting divorce. I wasn't expecting bankruptcy. I wasn't expecting to be abused or damaged or forsaken or abandoned. Why did that happen? Well, one reason that we have in Scripture, and there are mysteries that we can't understand everything, but one thing we know for sure, that if you will surrender that place of pain to God, he'll not only heal you, but he'll heal through you. Because there are many people in the world that don't know your God. They don't have access to his comfort and his love. How are they going to get that message? It's going to come through you. When you say, hey, I've been there. I went through that. And God comforted me. Now let me tell you how he does this. And one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 54, verse 10. Does this sound like an earthquake or what? For the mountains may move. And the hills may disappear. That may happen. But even then, my faithful love for you will remain. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Isn't that awesome? And even the pain and even the devastation, even when everything is wrecked and destroyed, God says, my love is still available. I will help you rebuild. I will heal you. Now, I put a question out. As most of you know, our church is on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and we encourage you, follow us on those social media channels. And by the way, if you're a Yelper or a Facebook person, show us some five-star love, okay? Give it, you know, every once in a while there's somebody that gets a little heated up about our church and whatever, and they, you know. But it's nice, if you're proud of your church, go ahead and let people online know about that, amen? Just go ahead and tell your story of blessing. But you can follow us there. What I did about a week ago, I put out a question about this subject, trauma. And I asked you about your story and what has happened to you and more specifically, how you got through it. And I got some very, very insightful answers. The answers sort of came in waves. One kind of wave of answers was the importance of prayer. People are saying, I went through a divorce, I miscarried, I went through a bunch of surgeries, or I had these problems in my life, and prayer really helped me. Christine says, she quoted the Romans 8:26, where the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. She said, my experience in the valley of trauma, I wasn't able to pray. I wanted to stay in bed with blankets over my head, she said. But a sweet, gentle voice of the Holy Spirit kept saying, pray, pray. And so strength came to help her through that. Kim said, I immersed myself in the Word of God, took long walks, prayed with every breath, did some fasting, and took a lot of vitamins. Well, why not? Prayer is prayer and vitamins. All right, I like that. I like Pogi's answer. Pogi said, I went up to complete strangers waiting after church at the front of the church who prayed for me. I asked people who didn't know what was happening to pray for me, and suddenly my burden seemed light. I knew I wasn't carrying the heavy load anymore. Others were carrying my burden too. She said, at that point, I knew I would be okay. Prayer warriors are always going to be in my life. I'm so grateful for the prayer warriors that come up here after service. We never make a big dramatic thing about receiving prayer. Prayer is kind of a personal thing, but there's always people here to pray with you. And I encourage you, as these people are saying, you know, make use of prayer. Pray prayer and receive prayer. Then a lot of people talked about the importance of fellowship and having relationships in times of trauma. That will get you through. For example, Nora said, what got me through was friends that were not afraid to tell me the truth. Sarah said, faith brings you to the place of healing and understanding that the best is coming and everything will be restored. But surrounding myself with the right people who could support me and pray for me was also important and reassuring. Then a few people talked about getting through trauma by not focusing on themselves, but instead reaching out to other people. Remember that scripture we read about God's comfort coming through us to other people? Do you know that when you're hurting, if you'll not just focus exclusively on yourself, but you'll find somebody else to bless and help, it'll help you heal. Do you believe that's real? Some people wrote that. Marie said that she'd go down to St. James Park in her crisis. When she was losing everything, she would go down to St. James Park and feed her homeless friends. Julie said, God shifted my focus from myself to someone else. He woke me up at 3:00 in the morning and told me through scripture that he was going to restore me. She goes on to talk about how God used the church to help her. You know, friendships and relationships are very, very important. And I had answer after answer about people just saying to be a part of a small group, to be a part of a family, to be a part of a loving church was crucial for getting through their crisis. Few people talked about the power of praise and worship. I thought that was an excellent answer. That by worshiping the Lord, people found healing in their times of trauma. Patricia went through numerous painful procedures. She kept focusing on Jesus, calling on his name, listening to Christian music. Another Patricia said, I sang worship songs and hymns. She had had two miscarriages, and then she had a third miscarriage. She was at an all-time low, but praise and worship lifted her. She said, 1 year later, she found out that she was pregnant with twin boys. The Lord turned her captivity through praise and worship. Janie was going through cancer. She said when she was in emotional and physical pain, she cried out to the Lord by singing praises. She says, not because I wanted to, but because it was all I had. Many times I didn't know what to pray. I listened to songs that were about how wonderful and mighty and faithful and loving God is. And there was a couple of great ones about just kind of hanging in there. You know, sometimes when you're hurting, you just have to try to get through it. Just hang in there. Christina said, three words, just keep swimming. I like that one. Ricky said, be still. And that's good advice too. Maybe the best answer I got online was from Heather. Heather went through, I won't tell the story, but here, this is what Heather says. Heather says, allow yourself to cry those big, ugly crocodile tears and be honest with yourself and with God about how you're feeling. Forgiveness and prayer are the lifelines that we think we throw out to God when it's really Him who extends His hand to us. The process is cyclical and it will make one dizzy at times, but extending forgiveness to the one that we feel has caused the trauma is one of the quickest ways to start the healing process. The power of forgiveness. Those are great answers. Let's give our participants a hand for that. I really appreciate that. Now, what I'd like to do is I'm gonna welcome a guest. She's my friend. She's your friend. She's a part of our church. Valerie Hill is the CEO of Real Options, and she's coming to tell us her story. Valerie, we welcome you. Come on, let's give Valerie a hand. Come on up. Take you up. Valerie, what you see here doesn't look like a person who's been through trauma. Valerie's a CEO of a thriving ministry for women. She'll tell you a little bit about that in a few minutes. She's successful. She's got joy in her life. She has a healthy marriage, but it wasn't always that way. Valerie, you had some rough days as a young woman. Tell us a little bit about your story. Let me give you a microphone. Tell us a little bit about your journey and with trauma.
Well, my first marriage, so I was married before Jerry at 18 because I was pregnant. And so that's not the best way to start a marriage, but I know I was a product of an unplanned pregnancy, so God has plans. But it turned out to be a very stressful, traumatic time in my life, a really damaging time in my life. I wasn't raised with abuse. I wasn't used to being treated that way. And there was a lot of verbal abuse, a lot of constant just, you're worthless, your job is worthless, what you do is worthless, and always running around with other women. So I figured I must be the... I weighed a lot less, but I thought I must be the fattest, ugliest person in the world. And that's how women feel when they get treated that way. And so there was that abuse. There was alcoholism.
Wow.
It was just a lot, and I wasn't really prepared for that. But I was raised Catholic, and I believed in marriage. And I really became a doormat. I really became a doormat. That's how I describe myself. That's what I realized I was when I finally came out of that.
Okay. So you were married for how long?
7 years.
Tough marriage, 7 years.
Yep.
How did that affect you emotionally? What's the feeling that a person has
depression,
when they're in that situation?
A lot of depression, a lot of grief, crying fountains of tears, wondering why, feeling, always crying out to God. I did cry out to God.
Did you have Christ in your life at that point?
I didn't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Not really. But I cried out to God. I believed He was good. I believed He was love. But I didn't know the word at all.
Mm.
And I just didn't understand why.
So what'd you do? What happened?
Well, I got a divorce. I finally got away from that person, and it wasn't easy. I went back and forth a few times. I was really in bondage, and I just decided that I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't cope with it anymore, and so I got out of that, but I quickly got into another relationship because I was so broken, and someone was nice to me, and got pregnant. Again, outside of marriage. And I thought, well, I can't trust this person. Not good person, wanted this baby, wanted to get married. Not his fault that he didn't want. I mean, he wanted this. But I just thought, I'm not going to trust another man. And I came, you know, kind of the pendulum swung the other way. And I said, I can't trust anybody.
You're done with men.
Yeah, I can't trust a man for sure. And I'm going to be a liberated woman. This is 1984. And I thought, okay, I'm going to pull my boots up and go get an abortion, because that's what the liberated woman does, and trying to empower herself and protect yourself. And that never works when we try to protect ourselves, but I did. And I immediately was grief-stricken.
Wow.
I went to bed, pulled the covers up over my head for a day, and then I did what we do with grief when we don't know how to handle it, and I just pushed it down into denial. And said, I've got to go to work. I supposedly did this so I could be a better single mom. And so I got to provide for my daughter and go to work. And instead of doing something that was good for her, I stole the only sibling she would ever have, other than her stepbrother that she has. But it's never a good answer.
So all the shame, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah.
Where were you, you know, in
there was a lot of shame.
In making that decision.
Yes.
There was what were the feelings that you stuffed down that you'd have to deal with later?
Oh, guilt, shame, sinfulness. I mean, just as far as sin goes, as a woman, I think it's the worst sin. And God doesn't categorize sin, but as human beings, we do.
Right.
So I really felt like this is like the unforgivable sin. And I knew that I needed God. And I was really, really blessed by the Lord because 4 months later, not 4 years, not 40 years, I've heard so many stories from women who've carried this shame and regret and sin for so many more years. But 4 months later, on Easter Sunday, I accepted an invitation to go to church.
Awesome.
And I accepted Christ because I knew I needed a Savior. I used to think, oh, I'm a good person. I was raised Catholic. You know, I'm a good girl. I'm a moral girl, pretty much. Got pregnant twice. But anyway, I really didn't think I needed Jesus. But when I did that, I knew I needed Christ. I knew I needed him.
So your pain, in a way, made you open to faith in Christ. But so, and then you prayed a prayer, I'm sure, to receive Christ as your Savior.
Yes.
At that point, I'm sure, as soon as you gave your heart to the Lord, all that pain went away instantly, right?
I wish it did. No, actually, in some ways, it broke my denial, my little safekeeping that I had all this garbage in. And I started to really feel like, I felt like there was a big red sign on my forehead in church, especially in church, that everyone could see that I had an abortion.
Oh, wow.
Even though I would never have told anyone.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're wrestling with condemnation.
Oh, yeah.
Even though you knew God was forgiven.
I knew I was
so
forgiven.
So what did you do? How did you get out of all this pain? How did you, what worked for you? You came to Christ.
Yeah.
What else? Anything? I mean, if people are dealing with that kind of stuff right here in this room, what do you say to them? How do you get out of trauma?
Well, you get out of trauma by coming to him honestly and openly and finding people that you can share truth with.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't be transparent, if you keep the trauma, whether it was incest, the shame I felt from being verbally abused, like I never told my mom and dad I was in that marriage.
It was a secret.
I was full of shame. Whatever trauma has got you bound in shame, you've got to speak it out. You've got to say it to somebody safe. Find safe people, find a safe group, find a safe pastor, a counselor who can listen to you with compassion and grace. And you need God's word. God's word was the lifeblood for the healing. Reading the Bible, praying the word, learning
awesome.
How to pray the word.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
All of that together with the support group, the Bibles, the post-abortion healing that I led. And I did it to help others out of my pain. But every time I led a group as a volunteer, God peeled another layer off my heart. And I couldn't believe it. Every time thinking that I was going in kind of like the healer, but really I needed more healing. And the Holy Spirit's the healer. We all know that.
Wow, wow. So truth brought Valerie to a place of honesty that actually created more pain in a way for a moment.
Yes.
It's like when you're in trauma, when you're in hurt, if you've stuffed it down, all right, you just say, I didn't do that. You're not dealing with it. You're not looking at it. And then you get born again. You come to Christ, and Christ leads you into truth. Now, this stuff is coming up in the form of memory, and the Holy Spirit is bringing up because he wants to clear it away.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to help you get it up and out. And through that time, there may be increased pain. And what Valerie is saying is the power of talking to safe people, people that you trust, and reading the Bible helps you get all that stuff out. Today, Valerie, would you say you're a joyful person? You're a happy person?
Yes, very.
And would you say the Lord is your healer? He heals the brokenhearted?
He's my healer. He's my strength. He's everything to me every single day.
Awesome.
Yeah. He's amazing. His grace is amazing. When you were just talking, I saw the picture of a bandage, though. It's like if you got in an accident,
yes,
and you had an ugly, huge gash on your leg, and you covered it up with a good bandage and good ointment, but you didn't look at it for a few years, you'd have your leg cut off because the infection would be so bad. The infection in our hearts can be so bad, and we could try to cover it up with our coming to church, serving in the church, lots of scriptures, but you got to get the infection out. You got to get the poison out.
Okay, I love that. Valerie, thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Really personal story. Valerie's going to be around. You need to get to know Valerie. You need to get to know Real Options. But whether your pain is related to the same kind of things that she's been through, divorce and brokenness and abortion and all that, or maybe it's a totally different brand of pain, different kind of trauma, those are the principles that will help you. You need people to talk to. You need to open up and talk the trauma out. Some trauma only comes up by, that's why James said, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another so that you can be healed. That the importance of family and community and relationship cannot be underestimated. I want Valerie to stay right here. And by the way, can we just say thank you to Valerie for sharing her story? Appreciate that. I'd like to take a few moments and share a little bit more about how people can recover from trauma based on what I have learned from the Word of God. You've got a teaching outline right there. I'm just going to take you through a few simple points, and then we're going to have prayer at the end. I want to focus on something in the area of rubble. Let's go back to the story of Nehemiah. Because in chapter 4, verse 10, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild." What I'd like to say to us is that no matter how badly we want to rebuild in our lives, no matter how bad we want things to change, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to come and remove the rubble. Now, what is the rubble? Think about Nepal, right? When that city fell down, there's just rubble everywhere. Think about Jerusalem. When that city fell, there was rubble everywhere. And they were saying, this rubble is preventing us from cleaning up and rebuilding. Think about Nepal. They can't even get to the people that are suffering and dying because there's so much rubble. And I think sometimes there is so much rubble in our lives that we can't quite rebuild. What is rubble? It's the leftovers of that which has been destroyed. It's the useless remnants of yesterday, the stuff that happened yesterday that is still remaining in our lives. Although broken, it's in the way and we can't rebuild. And God wants to clear away the rubble, the useless debris of our sins, our negative emotions. There may be relationships in our lives that need to be cleared away so that there can be a brand new beginning. Sometimes it's attitudes in us. Sometimes it's things we believe that we shouldn't be believing, things that we trust in that we shouldn't be trusting. Until those things are taken away, we really can't rebuild. So we just sit there broken down. But God is standing up in the midst of the rubble of your life, and he's saying, let's arise and rebuild. Let's change this. Let's clean this up. Let's do something great. And God wants to rebuild our personalities, our lives, and our hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I would say, and you might even want to write this down. Make a decision to deal with the rubble of your past so you can rebuild. I think if there's one thing that you could do today that would help you recover, it's to make a decision. I want things to change, and I'm going to allow God to take things out of my life that are stopping me from moving forward. How do we do that? How do we let God take our rubble away so that there can be a rebuilding process? Let me share four simple thoughts. First of all, be honest and full of faith. Okay? Honesty is good. To be honest, as Valerie has shared, you've got to tell your story. But the other side of that is you've also got to have faith. Because if all you do is just talk about the facts of what has happened, you haven't really yet released the truth. There are the facts. Listen to me. This is important. There are facts, and then there are truths. The fact is it hurts. The fact is you went through a divorce. The fact is you weren't expecting that. That's a fact. But now there's also a truth. And the truth comes that God, what God says is really what's going to determine. The fact is you were broken. The truth is Christ can heal you. How many understand what I'm talking about? So you've got to be honest. Don't deny what you've been in, but you've also got to be filled with faith. Grab the truth of God. What does God say about your future? What does God say about your healing? See, that's the truth that will set you free. I would say it this way. My pain is not in control. God is. My experience, what I've been through, is not the final word. That's just the facts. But the truth is something greater. The truth is something higher. So acknowledge both the facts and the truth. Be honest and be filled with faith. And then number two, in trauma, sometimes we have to move on and say goodbye. There are times when we have to make a clean break, as Valerie did, with abuse. She made a clean break. You said goodbye to not forgiving yourself. You said goodbye to self-condemnation. You know, there's times, brothers and sisters, where you got to draw a boundary. And you got to say, you know, this is enough of this. This is all that is going to happen. I'm not going to take that anymore. And I'm willing to say goodbye. Everybody, let's practice. Just say the word goodbye.
Goodbye.
Sometimes you got to say goodbye to depression. You got to say goodbye to your past. You got to let certain things and maybe even certain people go. Because in trauma, we have a decision to make. Here's our decision. We have a choice. We can lay down and die with the past, or we can rise up into a new future. Now, every person that's hurting faces this choice. You can't control what happened to you, but you can control what you do with it. And you've got a choice to make, which is either I'm going to give up and stop fighting. I'm just going to die right here in my rubble. Or you can, this is what Nehemiah said, let us rise up and build. Let's change this. Let's do that. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's fun. But you've got to make the decision to move forward with your life. Move on. Say goodbye. This is what Paul is saying in Philippians chapter 3. I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past. That's saying goodbye. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ is calling us. Here's the third piece, and we heard this from our social media channels. Forgive and learn. Forgive and what?
Learn.
So let's take the first piece of this. When trauma occurs, you know, most often it's the result of someone doing something wrong. Maybe choices we made, we did something wrong. Maybe choices somebody else made to damage us, right? And so there has to be a forgiveness in either case. Valerie, you were saying in the first service that you forgave your abuser, but who else did you have to forgive? You were mentioning...
Yeah, for the abortion, I really had to forgive myself.
Wow.
And you know in your mind when you come to Christ that you're forgiven by Him, but I didn't think I could forgive myself. And women say that in those support groups almost every single time. And then, but one wise mentor said to me as I was learning to facilitate these groups, she said, Valerie, if you love Jesus and He's your Savior and He is above you, but you don't forgive yourself, you're putting yourself above Jesus. And that's pride.
Wow.
I went, wow.
What does that mean? I mean, Christian people are familiar with, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I think most of us understand that. How do we forgive ourselves? What is that? Well, Why would we need to forgive ourselves?
You have to forgive yourself because you hold yourself in bondage. You will not receive all that God has for you. All the purposes, all the plans, all the beauty He wants to make out of the ashes, if you hang on to not forgiving, you're not going to live the good life that He has for you. There's goodness God wants to bring in our lives.
Right.
And we're going to be kept from that. We won't think we deserve it, for one thing. And it's a choice. Forgiveness is always a choice. And forgiving yourself is no different. It's out of obedience. Mm-hmm. I had to do it out of obedience. I had to choose to forgive myself.
No,
I didn't
feel like it. We have to wait till we feel, right?
No.
We have to be authentic. We have to be true to ourselves. Yeah. If I'm still mad, I can't forgive, right?
No, you can, because it's out of obedience. I get mad today. I get mad at people. I get hurt by people. But I have to choose to forgive. And the one thing that God has helped me with out of obedience is, like, how do you get the feelings to follow the obedience? Pray for that person.
Awesome.
Pray for that person that hurt you. Pray for them, and you'll start to have compassion in your heart.
Wow.
Compassion, and you'll start to see that they're a hurting person, that they're a mess, that they need Jesus, and His compassion will work in your heart. And you'll truly be able to set them free. And you don't have to have a relationship necessarily with everybody that
right.
you forgive.
You don't have to trust them.
You don't have to trust them, but you have to forgive them, and you have to love them with the love of Christ.
I like that.
Otherwise, we're the ones that stay in captivity.
Now, I wish we could rewrite our story. I wish we could rewrite history. I wish we could just go back and edit out all the bad things that have happened, but we can't. Here's what we can do. We can forgive. You cannot change what has happened. So if you're trying, you know, with all your might to change the way it is with your husband, or change the way what has happened with your children, all that, you can't rewrite that story. But what you can be empowered to do is to forgive them and release them.
Amen.
Now, you may say, but if I forgive them, they'll be getting away with it. Right? They're getting away with, they got to pay. But here's the thing. You got to release that to God to give them whatever they're going to get. That's not your thing. You got to get that hurt out of you.
Right.
Release them and say, God's going to deal with them, and I pray that He has mercy.
That's right.
I pray that He deals mercifully with them.
Yes.
But slide it over to Him, because it's too much for you to carry. So forgive is important. And then learning. You know, one of the reasons why we go through hard times is our experiences can teach us how to do better next time. And it's good to look back and say, you know, I'm not going to walk that road again. I learn maybe when I'm hurting, I'm vulnerable. Maybe I learn that when I'm hurting, I'm vulnerable to dumb decisions, temptations,
yes.
whatever. And I have to smarten up in times when I'm in pain. I may be tempted to go to alcohol or go, you know, do whatever. I do dumb things when I'm in pain. So maybe I learn the lesson when I'm in pain, I get around better people. And I don't let myself be alone too much. You can learn lessons from your times of healing. And one of the most important learning opportunities, Valerie, that I think I want to make sure everybody understands, because Real Options is a vital ministry, and it teaches people. It helps them to learn. And you guys do weekend seminars. Can you talk to us about
sure.
that? We're going to put the website up.
Okay. We do Hope Summits, they're called, and that's an 8-week Bible study called Forgiven and Set Free. It's all the Word of God. The first chapter is all about the character of God, so it's all based on God's Word, and it takes you through the stages of grieving, because you really do have to grieve a past abortion and come to terms with it and be honest with yourself and honest in a safe group. I see women come in those groups. I don't do them anymore as a facilitator, but for years, staring at the floor. They don't even want to make eye contact
wow.
with one another. They think they're the only ones that ever committed that sin. And by the end, a whole new countenance.
Beautiful.
And
these
then
are called
summits. Those are called Hope
Summits.
And
okay.
then there's the on the other tab, which I know Jordan can't pull up because that's a screenshot, is Rachel's Vineyard Retreats. Those are for men and women.
Wow.
And they're just a weekend retreat. We get to use the beautiful Jesuit retreat grounds in the area in two locations, and everything is free.
Beautiful.
All your materials, all your meals, your lodging, this is all provided by God's people who support Real Options. And again, it's from a Friday night to a Sunday afternoon. Some women go to a summit and then they do a retreat.
Okay.
Or they go to a retreat and then they go do a summit. And we're changing the structure of the summit so that they can be in your home. They can be at the
wow.
church in a room in the church.
Wow.
One facilitator has to have an abortion in her past, but the other one could just be a really good prayer warrior. that you're comfortable facilitating with. You could do a 4-hour class on a Saturday and only do 4 more weeks of summit. We're trying to be flexible. 8 weeks is a long commitment.
So there's the website, and I'm going to bring this up. You're not bringing it up. The far right, there's the donate tab.
Oh, okay.
I want to encourage everybody to get on board with Real Options. Gateway is helping to support the work of Real Options.
Yes.
But they depend on thousands of people and the fundraisers and all that. So we thank God for Real Options and how they're helping women to heal. So please help us spread the word about Real Options and that post-abortive women can heal. And maybe that's not your story. Maybe that's not what has happened to you. But take the principles which Valerie is sharing and I'm bringing to us from the Word of God and begin to arise and let's rebuild our lives, all right? And that brings us to the fourth one. I'm going to share this one and then we're going to have some time of prayer together. The worship team is going to come. The last thing you've got to do is you've got to actually receive healing. Whatever has happened, if it's divorce, if it's abandonment, if you've lost a loved one, you got to receive the healing power of God. Usually, it's not instant. Now, I'm not going to say that God doesn't miraculously heal because you guys know that I know better. God can do instantaneous miracles. But what about when it's not a miracle? Is it still awesome when God heals us through over the process of time? You better believe it. It's a work of the Holy Spirit just as powerful as an instantaneous miracle. And sometimes the healing process is way more important than an instantaneous miracle because it's in the healing that we learn lessons that protect us in the future.
That's right.
So God is gracious to us in doing these works of His Holy Spirit over the course of time. We receive healing from God, receive everything that He has for you in Christ. I'm going to tell you flat out, and I think Valerie will back me up on this, you need Jesus. If you are hurting and if you don't have Christ, you need to receive Him today. We're going to have prayer in just a minute, and you're going to have an opportunity to deal that. I prayed with one young man after the first service, and I said, look, it's just very simple. You're trying to fix something, and you can't fix it. You need to turn it over to God, who can fix it for you. You turn your life over to Christ. You cannot fix this by yourself. You need God's power. You need His love. You need His cleansing. You need His forgiveness. And you need to give God a chance to declare a new future over you. God has a new future. Your city might be broken down, but I hear the Lord declaring over you today, let's arise. Let's rebuild. Wherever you're at, doesn't matter how low you've gone, doesn't matter how much it hurts, He really does want to rebuild. I'm going to ask Valerie to just take a moment and pray for you. If you're here, in fact, let's do this. Let's stand together. Let's all stand. I'm going to ask Valerie to say a prayer for a minute or two here, and then Pastor Nicole is just going to lead us in some Holy Spirit time. Would you open your hearts to the Lord together? Go ahead, pray, Valerie.
Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your awesome presence, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Thank you for your powerful word, the word that pierces through the darkness, the hurt, the grief, the shame, the regret. Lord, thank you for your powerful word.
Lord. Yes,
thank
Lord.
You for your everlasting love for us. Father, we just submit and surrender to you all over this room today, Lord. We submit and surrender to your love. We know that you are the great surgeon. You're the great counselor. You're the only one that can heal us, that can get out the sickness, that can get out the poison, that can get out the disease and clear the rubble out of our lives, Lord. We bring it to you, Lord. We bring it to you. And Father, I pray for everyone here that has rubble to clear. That they will come out of the darkness, out of the shame. Find a safe group. Find a safe person. Find a safe pastor, a counselor, people, a home group where you can be transparent and authentic and just say, yes, this is what I did. This was what was done to me. and I need healing, and I need help, and I need you to hold my hand and help me forgive. Help me. Lord, thank you that we have each other. Thank you that we have each other, Lord, in the body of Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
You don't leave us alone. You don't leave us helpless. You don't leave us fatherless. You give us one another. And I just declare freedom over this room today.
Yes, Lord.
I declare freedom and liberty by the power of the Holy Spirit. I just declare purpose. Purpose.
New hope.
God has purposes and plans to use the ashes, just like he did in my life, for beauty to be broken and given out.
Yes, Jesus.
Just like Jesus did for us. Use it to further the kingdom of God.
Yes.
To further the people in your life, your neighbors, your coworkers, people in your home group. Father, thank you. Thank you that you give us transformational power.
Yes, Lord.
That you take garbage and dirt and you turn it into life. You turn it into purpose. You turn it into amazing grace. So we just thank you and we praise you for this good word today. We trust you and we surrender to your mighty love in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd just like to ask you one more time about your testimony, your experience. How many of you here could say, and I want you to look around as you respond, you could say that you have found God and his healing power for a broken heart. Could you just lift your hand? Just keep it up for 1 second. Just look around. Is he a healer? Does he heal us after trauma? Praise God. I want the altar teams just to come right now. I want to encourage you to say a prayer with me. I don't know how you ended up in this room. I don't know if you've been here 1,000 times or today maybe was first time in a long time or maybe your first time ever to be in a church. The most important thing you could do in your relationship with God is just open your heart to him and receive his love and his forgiveness and begin a brand new life through faith in Christ. All of us are going to say a prayer here. And I want to encourage you, especially those of you say, I don't know if I'm saved. I have no clue how to know God or have a relationship with him. If you would say this prayer, not only would healing come into your life, but salvation and a brand new start would begin. So let's all say this prayer aloud together. And I believe God is going to hear us as we pray. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that Christ is a healer. Today, I accept your forgiveness and healing. I trust you as my Lord. Could you say that again just to be sure? I trust you as my Lord and Savior. I release all who have hurt me. And I ask for the wisdom to live differently. Holy Spirit, clear away the rubble and rebuild my broken heart in Christ's name. Amen. I believe something great is taking place in every one of our hearts as we pray, as we use our faith. Now, if you want to check in with someone here at the front, maybe you're in a situation today where you say, man, this is hitting really close to home for me. There are prayer warriors, just like that testimony I read earlier. These people will pray with you. They'll talk to you and help you. Never embarrass you or shame you. So if you'd like to come and receive prayer, that's available. The rest of you, I'm so glad we could be together. Thank you for coming to Gateway. I love you. If I've never met you, shaking your hand, Kathy and I would love to. God bless you. You are dismissed.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.